And welcome back to the Horror of the Emerald Valley. I hope we know what that means this time. Can we learn that, Rob?
I think we do know what it is.
I think we've already known what it is. It's this, weird...
Like, do we know exactly?
It's this weird flesh space.
I don't like the word flesh space.
Yeah.
That's a... I don't like that.
Apologies. Like that. Yes. That's,
is that like an alternate name for the Dead Space series?
I don't like that either. That's not good. It's not... Nothing's good. Anyways, this is our Earthdawn game that includes that thing that I'm not going to say, which is run by our buddy Rob. Say hi, Rob.
Hi, Rob.
There we go.
Yay.
And Rob is the head of the Songbirding and, more importantly, the Name Givers podcast. I don't know if those are more important to you in your order, but they're both awesome podcasts and you should go listen to both of them. Yeah, the Name Givers podcast if you want more awesome Earthdawn adventures, and Songbirding if you want some nice relaxing field recordings of burbs.
I like burbs.
I like burbs too.
As do I.
Burbs are good. It'd be real weird if you didn't like birds and then you had started this podcast.
I've been seeing a really pretty cardinal behind my house recently.
Ooh, we need to refill our bird feeder.
Well, we need to rescue our bird feeder from the morning glories.
Dude, we have a morning glory plant that some bird dropped like the seed of, and now it's just like taken over. This huge vining thing is just like taken over the bird feeder now.
Oh my.
It was just this mess of vines and... Well, you know what? We're probably about to talk about a bunch of mess of vines or veins or something. I don't know. Weird plants. Speaking of, let's go ahead and talk about what happened last time. All right, we're back. Rob, tell us whatever... What fresh hell do you have for us now in our flesh space?
Oh my god,
it's getting worse.
This is your fault, Wesley. You called it that.
I did, but then you repeated it. You didn't have to repeat it.
Yeah, but
you started it.
We wouldn't have ever said it if you hadn't come up with it. It came from your brain.
What can I say? I write scary stuff too, okay? Flesh space is creepy.
That's fair.
Yep. All right, Rob, what you got for us?
Hold on, can I ask Susanna a question before you? I don't want to delay anymore, but are you like, I'm stressed out, I need to pet Andrew's beard right now? Is that what you're doing?
You know, yes. I didn't realize it, but apparently yes.
Yeah, yeah, okay. The beard of comfort.
Rob, please take us away from this.
Yes.
Yeah, so what's Saliak's reaction to this chamber space thing?
Yeah, I think he just stops in his tracks. He is not going to enter that place. I'll just call it that place from now on. He's stopped and he's just looking at it, and I'm guessing it just, based on previous description, is a very unwholesome place.
Yeah, it's matted with flesh of various name givers, you think, because you actually recognize that some of these patterns are obsidian. Some are Tuscrain, so scales.
Oh no.
And
amalgamation.
Yeah, not too pleasant.
Everything. Oh, yeah. He's not just gonna step into there because he doesn't want. No. He's just gonna be looking at it very carefully before taking a single step forward because.
Well, I think he was already in it when he realized, right?
Which? Oh, was it? I thought he
a
had
a little
like,
bit.
A couple steps, anyways. Yeah.
A couple steps. Not a lot.
Okay, then, if he's officially inside, I mean, I think he'd be looking out for some kind of, where is the obvious weak point in this horrible space so that I can attack it as fast as I can and kill this thing.
Can you kill
a tunnel? I don't
know,
this is the thing to kill.
I don't know.
I
don't know.
I think this is the passageway to the thing we need to kill.
Yeah.
As you look down and look around and in your, probably confusion and horror.
You
hear a voice, a familiar voice in your head.
Oh, great.
I have what I need in Gent Scapperly. You may run away now.
What?
Oh, well, he's not going to take that very well.
I think he will, there's no physical anything, but he just, I think this is a moment where he does a pose, not using the talent, just posing, because this would be, like, one of the big moments. And he just says to the air, I discovered I ran once, but never again. This time it will be you who run. He's gonna wait for the others to if they're going to catch up or not. He's not just walking on alone. He's
pretty
not
sure
that stupid.
We're right behind
yeah,
you.
Yeah, we're right behind
okay,
you.
Okay, well then.
Yeah.
I think
Mixie kind of looks at you and goes, who are you talking to? Oh, God, this place is awful. What the?
I think Thravik's just going to say to Mixie, just be glad you don't have to step on it.
Oh, it squishes.
Wait, who are you talking to?
It seems that Hor wants to let us know that he is aware of us, or it, I should say now.
Okay. So, we're just gonna keep going?
Oh, wait. Normally I'm the person that runs in and kills things. That's sort of my job, you know? But we need to be... Are we sure about this?
And Thravik, you hear in your head, you and Saliak are much more brave than last time.
Well, thankfully we have a second chance to get it right this time.
Interesting. Well, if you wish, find me, the real me. Let's talk. Perhaps you can negotiate me for some of my keepsakes back.
Does Saliak seem like he also heard that, or just me?
No, I wouldn't have
just,
heard it.
Just you.
It was just you.
Okay.
And, Thravik, where did you put that marble?
You're talking about the marble that... Are you talking about the original marble?
Yep.
I have the original, and Quinamea has the...
I
Gent's
have Gent.
Scapperly one, right?
I have Gent in my
okay,
pocket.
Yeah. So I would have it just in... It's passed around a lot, so I probably have it in a pocket rather than, like, the bag.
Okay. Okay.
As bad as that might be, I think that makes more sense, unfortunately.
Maybe a pouch.
All right, I'm going to get you to roll an awareness.
Okay.
Awareness of...
Are we going to get...
Hopefully my pants don't rip off. I'm going to use karma on this one, too, because I feel like it's important.
Ooh!
Oh! I double exploded the D10, so I got a 29.
You feel a strong, overwhelming sense from your bond you have with Saliak, this tug of a thread towards where you're storing the marble right now, and have this overwhelming sense that you should pull it out, that it is stirring in some way.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to pull it out of my hand, and I've heard the thing tell me that, you know, maybe we could come negotiate because we're braver than last time. And he hears that, gets this feeling from the marble, pulls it out of his pocket and is looking at it, and he's going to drop it if he gets like a sense that he shouldn't be holding it in his hand right now.
Yeah, it starts getting very heavy.
Yeah.
Suddenly. Very unnaturally heavy.
Move his hand towards the floor and then just kind of like roll it off of his hand onto the floor.
Yeah, and in a puff of smoke and air, just poof, a troll in purple ornate robes with dark rough skin and long white hair, heavily braided, two horns carved outward from their face, but they seem to be drenched with some smell, foul-smelling liquid. And it's a troll woman. Her face is painted with a mix of white and purple paints. I think Thravik would recognize the runes on her face as from Highland troll languages.
Okay.
Mixie freaks out and flies behind Quinamea.
And I'm going to get Mixie to roll a awareness. She might recognize.
Really quick, I just have to say I'm very glad that I passed that roll and that didn't come out of my pocket.
Yeah.
Because that would have been bad.
Let's try to figure out how that would work.
Quinamea's appreciating the body painting, because body painting is actually my artisan skill, so...
Ooh.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So you'll be really impressed with it. A 12, yeah. So you're thinking, you're seeing an illusionist discipline adept there because of the robes, the style of it. It's just all very stereotypical illusionist, do you think?
Oh, is it real?
You're not sure. She's kind of fallen over on the ground now. She's kind of moaning, groans a bit, and then begins to get up. And then you'll hear her say, "Vel, that was a bit disconcerting," as she looks up at you. Felt like being swallowed and digested, but crushed by, maybe being crushed by intestines? No smell good either. And she looks at Mixie and Quinamea and says, "Wait, who are you?"
Hi, I'm Mixie.
I think I should be asking the same thing. Who are you?
You a real person?
You were a marble.
Yeah, you were a marble.
Marble? okay. Saliak, what is this?
He steps up because he's being reminded of that strong, you know, the wardrobe color, the purple color. He steps up, and he's got this kind of awestruck, but kind of still terribly confused look on his face, and he's like,
"You are familiar. You are Scarlath, yes?"
Yes, Saliak, I am Scarlath. What happened to your brain? Clearly something. You don't remember me. How long was I gone?
Months. Well, a month about.
There has been a span of time for which we cannot account, myself and Thravik, he gestures. Please, what happened here? There have been flashes, impressions, events that are all shattered as if through a mirror. I cannot understand.
We were hired by the commission to come check some things out here, and Thravik here had a lead on a potential bird blade, and last I remember we found that thing, but then something distracted us, and not much memory from there. And she looks at Thravik and is like, you don't remember me either, huh?
No, I'm sorry. But he raises the blade, and he's like, I did re-find that butter blade again. There's a horror involved. We've found that much out.
Yeah. And she sniffs herself and looks at the goo that's kind of on it. Well, clearly something horrific here. Okay, you came back for me?
Well, we were drawn back here, I guess.
I think they brought you with them. Didn't you both have that marble?
We received
it. That came from someone else.
No, the commission had the marble.
We received from the commission, and not
then
that we knew
it was you.
Then you
would have brought it back. Maybe you just don't remember?
Possible,
I
suppose.
I mean, it's possible, yeah.
Which means they lied to us, right?
In all honesty, it's not that surprising.
Quinamea, like, crosses her arms angrily and is like, I hate being given a bad deal. I am going to have words for that woman.
Hey, you are just to be totally sure. Sorry, I could you poke her. I just want to make sure, okay?
I think she's real.
Is that really necessary, Mixie?
Well, she does illusions. You can see, you know, all the robes and stuff. But I just want to make sure this is a real
walks
person.
Up and
is
gives her a nice, strong pat on the shoulder.
Mixie, you notice that her eyes are glowing as if she's using astral sight right now as well, too. And looking at you and looking at each of you.
Yeah, well, just fine, being I'll look sure. back.
Just being sure. Are you all real?
Yep.
And yes, you notice her eyes actually change from the typical astral sight kind of color to a completely different kind of rotating textures of color briefly. And then she goes, oh, okay, not illusions. Interesting. So you are real?
I rolled an 8 on my astral sight.
Oh yeah, that's enough to look in astral space. You can tell that, yeah, she is using astral sight, but she's also using some other talent. You might, as a wizard, you do study various magics that people use. So I think for you what clues into you is, what would clue in your mind is that illusionists are often have this talent that can detect illusions and tell what's real and what's not.
I figured that from context clues. But she doesn't look abnormal in astral
sight? She herself, yeah, no, she does actually look like a name giver. She has the thread running between herself, Thravik, Saliak, group pattern thread that you had seen with the marble before that initially gave you a bit of a lead as to what this marble had going on at the time.
Yeah, because we just kind of thought we were tied to it somehow, but now we know it was because it was a person that we know, which is interesting.
Yeah,
Saliak looks at her again and says, can you recall anything of what we were sent here to find? Was it in general a sort of artifact, anything?
Just that sword? Or axe?
Well,
was it axe?
The axe sword, that was just a side benefit for Thravik. It just made it more interesting to him because he had heard that there might be one here. The commission had, you know, was investing in the town outside and the whole museum thing, and they just wanted to send some adepts to delve a little deeper into the care. There was this caved-in section that we are now in that we had to clear to get to.
So yeah, they did totally definitely lie to us.
Seemed
lied through their teeth.
Kind of odd. It seemed odd at the time that the cave-in, it seemed newish. Even seemed kind of obvious to our eyes, as if we were meant to do that. I don't think the commission would have done that, but I have wondered if perhaps whatever we're dealing with here may be using that as a lure.
I think it's manipulating them.
There's just... this is so fishy. There's something going on here. I can't figure it out.
So, not that I really want to, but maybe we keep going and see what's going on. Would you like to come with us to investigate more now that you're not a small round ball?
I was a small round ball?
What? For quite some time.
Yes, you were a marble. And she pulls out the one of Gent and shows her.
Ooh. And she looks in astral space and uses the true sight and looks again and goes, and turns around and almost throws up after staring at it.
Yes, this is Gent Scapoli, or was.
What is a Gent Scapoli?
You don't want to know.
Peacock.
It is a peacock. A very large, very self-important peacock.
Well, he was a swordsmaster, or whatever.
That is disgusting.
I don't know if that's really him, or I don't think he's been compressed into a small ball. It's like its essence or something. I don't know. But then again, you were in the ball, and now you're here, so I don't know what's going on. But I think that the horror is the one that's compressing things into a ball in whatever form. So I would assume he's probably got more, because considering this seems to be a revolving door trap.
Yeah, when I stopped just before I took out Scarlath, the horror spoke to me too and said that we might be able to negotiate for some of its treasures, so to speak.
And you hear a voice in your head. Yes, my keepsakes. Such as Scarlath here. I have released her as a keepsake. I no longer need her. I have plenty others, though, but I have something I need, and I could release the rest.
It's telling me that it has something it needs, and it could release the rest of its keepsakes if we help.
Well, that seems like a terrible idea.
Yes, I agree. Though we should probably see what it needs, and then kill it.
I mean, yeah, we should probably just kill it anyways. It's obviously causing problems, and whether we are able to release these people or not, we should stop it from being able to make more of these. Down the tunnel of people.
Yeah, I think either way, we know where we need to go, as unfortunate as that is.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit on Throbeck's shoulder. As we walk down the tunnel of people.
Who is in lead of this? Like, who's leading this?
I would think
Throvik first.
I think Throvik probably is first, yeah. Since he was the last one that was spoken to.
Depending on how wide the tunnel is,
it's pretty wide.
Okay, then I think he's Celiac is side by side with Throvik with the sword out.
And you hear some cursing behind you as Scarlath says, "Oh, dang it, I lost my carpet. I guess I will have to walk." And I think Mixie will be the only one who gets that, who's like, "Oh, she probably got a magic carpet," like a lot of versions do.
That would be so
cool. I was hoping to not have to walk on this, but sigh and follow along.
Yes, I'll be giving my boots a good scrub after this.
And I'm going to get, Throvik was at the front, so we'll go to Throvik as an awareness test.
Okay. I still have a lot of karma for the day, so I might just use another karma, because why not?
Why not?
I'm worried that if I don't notice things, it's going to kill one of us.
Why not? GM says, laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not? Ha 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 ha.
All right.
Rob has stated before he loves when we use karma so that we run out of karma.
Exactly.
Unless I'm very careful and I don't run out ever. All right, let's see. Awareness. I get an 8.
An 8? Ooh.
That nice extra awareness. Karma got me nothing.
Not much, yeah. That got you a 1. All right, yeah. On this, you notice that this kind of hallway you go through and it twists around a corner like a typical kind of cavern would, and leading into a larger space, except this is all disgusting, of course, as I mentioned. And you notice that this space opens up fairly large, and in the center of it is this bright, gleaming, golden spiral of, it's just, there's like, it's almost like a spring spiral in the center that comes to a crown on the top. And within it, there is a person thing, you're not sure which, that seems to be connected to all of the flesh that is around, but also in the, just kind of looks like it's almost like a cage that it's in, but it's a very ornate. And you would know as a weaponsmith, this almost looks like an orichalcum cage, actually. Orichalcum being a very strong magical material made from various true elements. You would know orichalcum to be a very valuable resource. It is used in the rites and runes of protection to keep horrors back. It was used to, when you sealed the cairns, you would use orichalcum runes on the walls to ward off horrors. It is used for extremely high-end currency and used for rituals, but very, very valuable resource. Very limited and valuable resource, usually.
Okay.
I bet it
was. And you said it was the cage that was made out of it, or?
Yeah, the cage seems to be made out of it, okay. And there's something in the center of it that, as you approach, you're noticing is part name giver, part animal, part creature. There's different parts to it. Part of it seems to be a wolf. Another part seems to be the arm of like a lizard, and another part is like, it's got an elf head. Although it's not really looking at you right now because you're pretty far away, but yeah.
I think we found him.
You hear in your head, "Welcome to Flaxworth Park, or what remains of it."
I hate this.
Yeah. I hate this, but
I'm really,
I hate this in the
respond.
Best way possible.
No, I hate this, but I want someone to I want someone to draw art of this as much as I hate it. I still want to see art.
I don't want to see the art. I want to know that the art, I know somebody was inspired to make the art, and they can just, no offense, they can keep it to themselves.
You know someone's going to hear that and do it, right?
Yeah. That's a challenge, Andrew.
That's a challenge. Make art and then don't share it with us.
And then burn it.
Yes. With sage. Cleanse the whole space.
Yes. Oh, gross.
So what Thravik's going to say, though, is... well, first off, really quick clarifying question. How tall is that kind of golden spring that you were talking about?
Yeah, it's about 20 feet high.
Okay.
This thing encased in it is just like kind of a patchwork of various name giver skins as well as animals, and if you were to guess, you're like, this is the entity itself, but perhaps it's found a way to grow outside of its cage.
Gotcha.
If you were to immediately let go. What was that?
I said the vine thingies.
There you go.
So it's saying welcome to Flaxworth Park, or what's left of it.
Yep.
And Thravik's just going to say, I'm going to be honest, I don't like what you've done with the place.
Well, that is nice of you. So, you are one of the first in a while to come this far. And I noticed that you have that blade. And I could use a hand getting free of this. You notice that a couple arms extend out from the body that's inside this cage and kind of gestures around the bars on the spiral bars of the cage.
Couple arms.
Couple,
I don't like that
arms.
Either. Thravik's just going to say, and what name giver in their right mind would ever do something like that?
One sitting in the middle of the lair of a quote unquote horror. That may know that they might save those individuals I have kept over the years, but frankly, I'm beginning to get bored of that. I want to do something else now.
And what's to stop us?
What I is think to this stop is just us? In Thravik's head, right?
Oh, was it out loud or just to him?
I will say that maybe a voice begins to actually emanate from it at the same time. I think it's louder in Thravik's head, but and he might think it's still in his head, but it begins to resonate throughout the space in a multitude of voices. Actually, some of you are actually hearing it as whispers from mouths you didn't even know were around you. And others just
like
the
mouths
voice coming
and
from,
like the fleshy bits of like the worms.
Oh no.
Ooh, you.
Wall mouths.
No, I don't like that.
Oh, this is so
I
good.
I had a visceral reaction to that.
Oh, that is disgusting. Oh.
Yeah, I'll let you go ahead. I'll let you go ahead and have Saliak respond first.
Okay, if he hears this last part about those that might set free, blah, 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 he says, "And what is to stop us from skewering that hideous shape like a pincushion and walking out of here?"
Well, you can try. I'm well aware of the risk. But quite frankly, I have been trapped here a long time. And you are one opportunity I can take.
You are an abomination. We cannot trust a single word you say.
That is your opinion. What is your opinion, Annie? You see one of the heads kind of turn towards Quinamea and Mixie.
Oh, I think you're super gross.
It's an elf head.
Just all super gross.
I think Quinamea says, "My opinion is that I was hired and paid to kill things and protect these people, so probably be doing some killing soon."
Mixie hides behind Quinamea. I'm like leaning over your shoulder with my hands on my shoulder, just like watching things. Oh, and I am definitely still casting that astral protection thing.
Yeah,
astral shield.
Yeah. Keeping that going.
Yeah, I'm keeping that going.
And I'm going to get Mixie to roll a awareness.
Okay.
23.
Jeez.
Whoa.
23. Nice. Okay. You hear a bit of a popping sound behind you as like a pore opens up and a marble rolls out.
Great.
It's going to attack us. It's going to turn back and it's going to attack.
I'm going to stab it.
Yeah, so you see a marble pop out and you hear it at first and then you see it. And poof, there is a cadaver again in front of you.
That's what I thought.
It's not really being aggressive or anything, but it's standing there. It's a, we'll say an orc cadaver.
I don't know.
This was behind us, right?
Yeah, beside you, I'd say.
Beside, like Quinamea would turn in its direction and have her sword pointed towards its chest, ready.
And it will stand there.
I think Thravik's going to look up towards the cage and just say, "So, do you have any proof that all of your keepsakes aren't in a similar state as this one over here?"
Well, let me see. And I'm going to make another GM roll here.
Uh-oh. I probably didn't want to actually do that.
That's so funny. I've got rules on how this works, and your request is granted, more or less.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
All right.
You wanted proof that they can fight? Well, here you
thanks,
go.
Thanks, Andrew.
You hear another popping sound as to the other side of your group, another marble pops out of a pore of the skin, and a, oh, we'll say an obsidian pops out in... fully live obsidian, not a cadaver or anything like that. Actually wearing a nice, like, tailored outfit, even. fresh from who knows where. he was dressed to go somewhere, and it's, yeah, standing there. But standing there and staring. Not really being very friendly or unfriendly, just kind of neutral.
I think everyone's just being quiet because we're not sure what the heck to do
about this. Okay, everyone's thinking.
Processing.
Okay. Processing.
This is a conundrum.
So just to be clear, what do you want from us?
Take that blade, cut the cage.
No.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that I like the idea of letting a horror loose to get out into the world and do this elsewhere.
Can we kill it while it's in the cage? Quinamea says, like, in a lowered voice, even though she's pretty sure it can still hear her.
Oh, yeah, for sure, definitely.
As you say that, another marble rolls out, let's say, behind you.
Just say we get going.
Bursts, and nothing but a cloud of dust pops out as nothing but bones come out and turn into a cloud of dust and kind of just float through the space as a small cloud as it dissipates to the ground in ash.
I think we should act quickly before there's a whole army blocking this.
Thravik has an idea.
Okay.
And what is this idea?
You said that it's like a big golden spiral with a cage made out of orichalcum at the top, right?
Yep, the whole thing seems to be made of... The golden part is the orichalcum,
Oh, okay.
So you're surmising that maybe because maybe they had this thought that if you could trap a horror inside an Orichalcum cage, maybe you could keep it, you know, contained.
Contained, okay. From what I know about Orichalcum, would I be able to cut the bottom of this kind of spiral so that it falls to the ground, but it not break the cage, or would that break it out?
You could try, but you think it would probably break it out because the way it seems to be growing out of the ground, you think that... I think as a weaponsmith, you have a fairly good sense of how the elements are used in constructing things like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it was kind of grown out of the ground.
Then I don't think Thravik is going to go through with his idea.
Hey, Rob, were you thinking like chandelier dropping it?
I was thinking of like dropping it to the ground so we could strike at it easier.
Is there anything in this room that looks like we could use as like a ballista? Like something that we can fire into the cage? Like, could we reasonably stab through the cage with our swords?
Yes.
Like, okay.
Yes, you could definitely reasonably stab into this cage.
I thought the cage was 20 feet in the air.
No, it's like, it's just that tall. Like
The spiral is 20 feet
up. The spiral
is
the cage.
But it's standing on the floor.
Yeah. When you first described it, I thought it was like this big, like golden spiral with like a cage like dangling from the top of it.
I see what you mean. No, the spiral is the cage.
No, the spiral is the cage. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
I mean, Celiac would want to fall back on his idea of, you know, stab through where it can't reach me, but I can reach it.
I think Quinamea just kind of shrug and says, should we go for it?
I don't see why not.
All right, then.
You can't let this thing get out.
I want to battle shout at it and then run towards it.
Oh, jeez. That's me re-rolling a d6 twice.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, boy. Okay.
As, I think in this case, this would be interesting. Who's carrying Gent?
Me?
Quinamea.
You're feeling a lot of weight coming from that pocket suddenly. Roll a dexterity check to see if you can.
It's going to be a pantsless fight for Quinamea.
At least your Tiskrang. Tiskrang are a little, different with how they.
Yeah.
You may actually have, it may end up just falling through your pocket, but let's see how this goes.
Oh!
Ooh.
Oh, 19.
Yeah, you're able to huck that if you like.
Oh, yeah.
And out emerges Gent Scamperly, and he's taking a kind of rather, aggressive pose towards the group.
Oh.
Oh, boy. I think if I can do this, I think Celiac is going to step up, and he says, it seems we will finish our duel after all.
And your blade is really vibrating at this point.
I was going to say, we're in this room. It's probably shaking in my hand.
I mean, you're able to control it because you control the magic, but it is very, very resonant. You probably all hear it actually humming really loudly. It's like a kind of, a tuning fork kind of going off.
Nice.
I'm going to shout, you go, buddy, and then point at Celiac and cast Iron Hand.
Ooh.
Which is a spell that will add a +5 bonus to close combat damage tests.
Okay.
So.
I want a battle shout at Lord Flaxworth and charge towards him.
All right. And Scarlath, who, always forget the NPCs that are following us, but she will gesture towards Thravek and then realize, Thravek probably doesn't remember this and say, we've got an old trick I can use if you're up for it.
Yes, of course. I'm sure I'll pick up on it.
And she will be casting on you as well, too.
Nice.
So Susanna, we'll let you get that in right away. So that 11, is that a direct spell casting or is that a thread weaving?
It was a direct spell casting.
Okay.
I don't need to do throw weaving for Iron Hand.
So 11 is against his mystic defense, but he can voluntarily lower it.
I would assume
Because you told him you were going to do it, basically. <Yeah. laughs> And then when it comes to battle shout and stuff, we're going to have to go to initiative for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I figured.
Sounds like we need to roll some initiative.
7.
I am still trying to find mine on the page here. there we go.
I have a terrible initiative on mine, so you guys definitely have the upper hand.
I only got a 1, 2.
I rolled a 9.
Well, I also got a one.
Oh my gosh! I actually got a one, too!
Players go before GM on a tie, so...
At least.
Five on initiative.
All right,
I have the highest initiative. Wow.
All right. We're gonna go to Mixie. Oh, and actually, I'm gonna... Meanwhile, I'm going to just always have Scarlath go first, so I don't have to roll two initiatives. So I don't have to keep track of that. Scarlath kind of rushes over and taps a Thravek on the shoulder.
Wow.
It fizzles like anything. Oh,
She's 14 and got a 3.
She's out of practice. Unbelievable. She's been a marble. She's far out of practice.
She's out of practice and wonky and is like, what is wrong with my magic? As you begin to see a image of a tiger form around, a very monstrously huge tiger form around Thravek, but then it just fizzles and disappears.
Oh,
that sounds so cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
And
well,
next, Susanna.
I ain't got a lot of options, so I'm going to mind dagger the thing in the cage.
Okay.
Because I don't have to roll for it. Well, I have to roll for it, but I don't have to thread weave for it.
Yep. Roll your spell casting, and of course, karma is always an option.
Oh, I think I'll use a little karma. An 8.
Oof.
It's not very good.
That's low, isn't it? Nope, that is going to miss.
Okay. Well, that's my turn.
You got all those good rolls earlier, and then you got to...
Yeah. I told you, as soon as we start rolling for battle, I'm gonna suck.
This is
I can see why
is.
This wizard likes archaeology better.
I'm an archaeologist, damn it. I'm not here for the fighting and stuff.
Oh, that's really on brand. All right, who's next on the list here? I think it's Saliak. Right,
yep, Wesley's next.
Yes, I know he might not even be himself anymore, but like, is he staring like a zombie or is he in control? Just
Gent? He hasn't... I think with the mind dagger that just missed... that's where he begins kind of hissing, as does the obsidian. And I'm going to roll a couple things for each of those.
Oh, boy.
Basically giving them willpower tests. Yeah, not so much for him. And we'll do one for the other one. I would say Gent is looking, taking an aggressive stance as if he's kind of ready to duel, and it's for real.
All right. Then I think he's going to, of course, remove the outer robe. They see, you know... his really cool forest-themed armor. He steps up. I think he's going to taunt, since he knows he's going to... Yeah, I think he's going to... Like, this is going to be a big fight. So he's going to taunt him, opening up, and he looks at him, gives him the once-over, up and down, and he says, "Let us see if I can poke a few more holes through which you can blow your hot air."
Right? Roll your taunt.
Wesley, you're so good at pulling these out of your butt.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that's a very good move for a swordmaster, too, because taunt is a very powerful way to kind of negate an enemy.
That is a 12.
That is good. So that is one success, which means he is -1 for all things for the rank rounds. So it's probably rank 4 or 5 for you, taunt, I'm assuming. So I'll keep that as a note.
Rank for taunt is 5.
Okay, so the next 5 rounds, he is -1 to all of his tests. All right, and I'm going to remind you now, you have the counterpoint ability.
Yes,
that you typically
I was going to bring that in as well, if I could.
So roll in, that's a free action. So you can roll a charisma-based half magic test. So charisma +4 with the option of karma.
I don't think I will use karma on this one. I will leave it
all right.
as it
and
is.
Your difficulty level is 5, means every 5 beyond that is an extra success. Every success, you gain +1 to your melee weapons attacks for this combat.
All right. So that is 13.
2 successes here, which means you get +2 to your melee weapons during this combat, as long as you keep singing. Counterpoint.
I think he's just doing the vocalized thing again. I think what he does is he will, the taunt, you know, kind of works. You see he's kind of off balance, and just for the showmanship effect, and because he wants to show this thing that he's like, you can throw all the dead bodies you want at me, I'm not gonna run this time, he pulls the sword. But he manages to somehow, I don't know how, he manages to somehow, like, he dives forward and he does this, like, somersault, comes up on his feet and swipes at at a leg. His idea is to knock him out so he has to, so he'll fall.
Okay, so I can do that as a called shot to knock down, is what that is. So let me spend a couple seconds here and look up that rule, because that is an actual thing that you can do.
Cool.
It's a wonderful combat. Attacking to knock down. All right. So no strain involved. So you make your close combat attack test as normal, and if it hits, the opponent needs to make a knockdown test, even if the damage dealt would not normally trigger the test. The attacker rolls a damage test to set the difficulty number. So basically what you're doing is you're going to roll damage, but it's when you hit, assuming you hit, but it's not to actually do damage, but it's to actually set a difficulty number that he's going to have to hit to stay on his feet.
Okay.
That's the way that works. So.
Oh, I can never figure out where I left my damage die.
No, you got to do melee first. So it's your attack test first. So melee weapons, and you get +2 because of your counterpoint.
What counts as close combat?
Melee and unarmed.
So if he does hit it, he gets my bonus thing.
That's true. So he's got that as well. So how many bonuses is that? What is that? What? How much bonus does that provide?
5.
5. Wow.
That's it's a +5 bonus to close combat damage tests.
Oh, to damage test. Okay. So that that's the damage test.
It's the damage, yeah.
12 there.
+2, so 14 is what you're going to roll then.
15.
All right. So that will hit. I'm going to, on his behalf, try avoid blow. 8, he does not avoid blow. You can roll your damage now. So damage step, find that is with your weapons. And you're going to add 5 to that because of the... What's it called? Tough hands? Iron hands?
Iron hand.
Iron hands.
And did counterpoint make him roll better on the to hit or on the damage?
To hit. Okay. Just to hit.
15.
Okay, so you're rolling a 20.
So at 20?
Man.
Jeez.
Jeez.
At 220.
You're gonna knock this guy down hard.
I hope so.
That is a 50.
Oh,
my
God.
What?
My.
Rob, don't tell me he didn't just murder this guy immediately.
No, he didn't, because he's doing
50.
He's doing a knockdown test, remember?
Yeah, he's doing a knockdown. He's not doing damage. This was to knock him down. Which means he's not going to be able to get up, because doesn't he have to beat 50 to get up?
He does have to, and he got a 9. So, with the number of extra successes...
Just to pull back the curtain, Jesus. One of the dice he gets to roll is a d20, so you got a natural 20 on that, and a 12 on the reroll, and he double exploded his d6.
Oh my gosh.
Nuts.
Unbelievable.
Okay, I've got to remember that roll for the rest of my life.
I'm going to screenshot that. That is ridiculous.
Put that in the Discord, please. Oh my gosh.
Well, I can't put it in there yet.
Not
awesome.
Yet. Not yet. I know. But,
save it for them.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh.
Man, that would have been so amazing as a finishing blow, but...
Yeah, don't forget to take a snapshot of that or something.
Yeah, I'm going to send a screenshot right now into the group so we can save that.
Oh my gosh.
Hannah, you need to do a TikTok that's like GM trying to do like anything, you know, and
one
like player rolls 50.
Yeah.
Yep. Exploding dice, man. Oh boy.
Jeez.
So I'm going to get Wesley to describe how this attack goes out.
All right.
And that basically in a way that which, Jen Scapoli definitely gets bested by Saliak. Very, very well, and knocks him like downed so hard that he's not getting up for another turn or two. With that level of success, I may have him down for a couple rounds instead of just one, because that's a lot.
I mean, good luck rolling better than that, man.
Yeah. So he comes up and he pulls it back, and he just thrusts straight forward toward the kneecap. Okay, and then it like on the shin it strikes, and of course if he was still capable of laughter, he would be crumpled over laughing, but of course he can't because he is some weird amalgamation at the moment. But yeah, he just the leg just crumples, and he keeps trying to stand, and he can't.
Yeah, I think he's basically you've knocked him out for a couple of rounds of this because he just can't bring that leg back up again. And you've hit him with the blunt end of the blade really hard.
Well, boy,
and,
do I know what I'm casting again.
Yeah.
Next on the list is, so we'll go with Hannah Quinamea.
Okay. I want a battle shout at Lord Flaxworth and charge at him and stab him through the cage. So first I'll roll my battle shout. I only got a 5 on the battle show.
Ooh, yeah, that's not successful. So, okay. Yeah, what's your action?
I'm gonna run up to the cage and kind of spin around and stab through it with my Chitard Thorn.
And I think the way that battle shot ends up not working is just the whole place is so creepy and there's so many noises going on that who's gonna notice this shouting?
That's true. That is true, yeah.
There's like whispers coming from all around us from mouths in the floor.
Yeah. Alright. My Chitard Thorn is unarmed combat, which is step 13. I'm going to use Karma.
Yeah.
Because I want to hit this thing. That's a 20.
Oh, wow.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
All right. You have 2 extra successes.
Woo! Oh, nice!
As you, okay. Yeah, you're noticing this creature cannot really evade terribly well. The difficulty you're having is really just getting through the cage. So that's where the the technical aspect of your attack is coming in. So 2 extra successes mean you get to do +4 on your damage.
Yeah. Ooh, nice. Okay, now remind me, is that adding +4 to the step itself?
Yes.
Okay. 14.
I mean, it could be worse.
Yeah, not too bad, but...
All right, so yeah, go in and describe an attack that... It's not a wounding attack, but you do... feel that there's a little bit of resistance whatever you hit. You probably hit a scaled or something.
So I think kind of how she attacks is she like charges at the cage and then she kind of does kind of like a spinning jump almost and slashes through the cage like with her tail and just slashes it with that Chitard Thorn.
You hear a little bit of a like gasp come from one of the mouths on this thing in there.
Oh.
You didn't know how many mouths were in there and you now know there's at least another mouth that you didn't know about.
Gross. Okay. That's it for me.
All right. Andrew, Thravek.
All right. So Thravek is standing there and he's got his thread-woven butter blade in his hand and he knows he can't really use that because he can't risk attacking the cage. So he's just going to kind of mutter to himself, eventually I'll get to use you, but now's probably not the best time. And he's going to kind of run up and take out his normal axe in his other hand and try and attack through the cage at the horror.
And so roll melee weapons.
All right, will do. And this feels like final boss fight, so I think I'm going to use a karma on that.
I think it's worth it, you know.
So that is a step 9 plus karma. Because I did not build myself for combat. I built myself for other stuff, too.
Yeah, I'm built for combat.
So I'll give you one other option that you can use.
Oh,
that
okay.
I may not have brought up before, but it's useful to know for strategy purposes. You can do something called an aggressive attack.
Okay.
And that is where you're going to take a point of strain.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to get +3 to your attack and damage, but lose 3 to your physical defense and mystic defense.
Let's see here. So, and mystical, you said, right?
Yeah. It's kind of you get a lower defenses, higher attack kind of trade-off plus a point of strain.
Let's see here. So if I did that, I mean, my physical and mystic armor are already only 5 and 4, so.
No, not armor, defense.
Oh,
so
defense.
Defense. The chance to hit
9
you.
And 13. I don't know. I'm feeling a go big or go home moment, so I think I'll do it. I think I want to be aggressive because Thravek is concerned about letting this thing make more minions. So then I'm going to go ahead and roll a step 12 plus karma. That is a 14.
All right,
that hits. No extra successes, but it hits.
All right,
you're able to finagle your axe. What kind of axe is it?
It is my Scythian axe.
You're not using the new one?
You're not gonna use the butter blade?
He doesn't want to risk it.
Just want to cut the cage.
You don't want to
come on.
Risk
cutting the
cage.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's
he
fair.
He is playing it smart. I muttered like, "Yo, I really want to use you someday, but right now is not the time." So then I'm gonna roll my damage step +3.
I think the way this works is you got to just basically angle it in a way that goes with the grain of the twist, the spiral twist.
Oh, okay.
So you're probably coming in at a diagonal angle.
Gotcha. Yeah. So you're kind of threading the needle, so to speak.
Yep.
Okay, so that makes me roll a step 14. Well, I rolled a 3.
Oof.
Oof. 1 and a 2 on 2d12.
No!
So yeah, describe your attack. strive your attack in a way that basically glances off something. So probably
I think Thravek is like trying to go like at the right angle and he hits, but I think his effort to like make sure he's going through the bars right, he focused a bit too much on it and on the follow through didn't. Like he kind of hits it bluntly instead of actually with the sharp edge and it just kind of glances off.
Yeah, maybe you hit its body, but it's a part that seems to be armored in some way or as an awkward angle. It just, maybe it bruises at
one of those
worst.
Scaly arms or something, yeah. Yeah, it didn't hit the right area, not the soft bits.
All right, and the obsidian is actually holding.
Holding?
The obsidian is.
Yeah, I know.
I don't like that.
I just don't like it.
Yeah.
Part of the reason for that actually is the willpower test it did earlier.
Oh, so it's like resisting.
It is resisting, yeah.
Oh, good job.
Gents was not so great.
Of course it wasn't.
it was pretty bad.
Got his butt kicked into the ground, so I think we're good there.
Okay, Thravek.
Yeah.
Oh boy, rerolls ain't great.
Oh,
okay,
Jesus.
31.
Ooh,
what's your physical defense?
What's your physical
well, it
defense?
Just went down, but it definitely wasn't a 31.
That's
my
like
physical
when the DM
defense,
is like, does a 20 hit?
My physical defense is currently 6 because it went down by 3.
So I got to use that for calculation for extra successes. 5 extra successes. Oh boy.
Jeez.
Knocked down.
It would have only been 4 extra
Sorry,
successes
buddy.
If I hadn't done that.
All right. So. You do have the option of Void Blow, but 31 is the difficulty.
Do I have a Void Blow? Let's see.
If you don't, it's just raw dexterity, which, yeah, that'll
which
be tough.
Which sucks for me, yeah. I do not know a Void Blow. There's no downside to trying, at least, though, right?
There is 1 point of strain in trying.
I can handle 1 point of strain.
All right.
All right, I'll go for it with my
Come
dex
on,
score
do it. You can do it.
5, step 5, so I got, let's see, d8s. I have to explode
twice.
4 times.
Four times, yeah.
Yep.
I mean, if miracles happen,
it
I suppose.
Happen.
Or I have to explode 3 times and get a 7 on the...
Just roll already.
Yeah.
It could happen.
It could happen.
I believe in miracles.
I mean, Wesley got that 50, so...
I got a 3. I got one of the digits that I needed.
Okay.
Oh, God. Oh, right. You rolled D20 on your
35.
Oh.
Extra successes. All right, what's your armor?
My armor is...
He's going to be cream cheesed. Oh.
My armor is 5.
All right, 5, so 30. All right, so...
It's been nice to know you.
I'll be fine.
A tentacle kind of reaches out of the... Not out of the cage, actually. You notice that he seems to not be able to control that, but reaches out of the ground and wraps around your leg and pulls you. And I want you to roll a knockdown test, actually.
Okay.
Because 30 is definitely a wound. What is your wound threshold?
My wound threshold is 11.
Roll a knockdown test at a difficulty 19. Do you have a wound balance, or?
I do have wound balance.
Okay, so roll wound balance. Difficulty number, though, is 19. This is to stay on your feet.
All right, and I am allowed to spend karma on this?
Yeah. If it's a talent you have, then yes.
I am gonna have to. So, my
running out of karma.
Wound balance step is 10. So I will get a 10 plus 4 because of the karma.
It's doable.
It's doable.
It could happen.
It could happen.
I mean...
We'll see.
I mean, 14 getting a 19? Not that unlikely.
I got a 19!
Oh my gosh! That is a 19,
oh
everybody!
Oh my gosh!
Wow.
Oh, that extra explode was useful.
Oh my god.
Alright, so a tentacle wraps around your leg, and you feel a searing pain in your leg, and it tries to pull you down, but you resist that. And you take... Yeah, I rolled a 35, and you had 30 armor, so you take 30 points of damage, and that is definitely going to be a wound.
Yeah. Oh,
oof.
Man.
And I'm going to roll a d6 here.
Why?
As another marble pops out, and there is a, we'll say a human woman, looks to be dressed in robes, pops out behind you, where before there was dust, now there's human woman in black robes.
Uh-oh. I need to cauterize the floor.
Nice. And one more action it has. Guinevere. Ooh. Okay.
Oh, I got lucky.
Jim rolled
I think
poorly here. 9 physical defense.
Let me see.
For Quinamia, it's got to be more than 9, I got to say.
Physical. My physical is 12.
Yeah. Yeah. So I roll a step 17 for 9, and another tentacle came out of the ground, and I think you saw what happened with Ravek, and you're like, nope, not going to happen.
Nope.
And got out of that way of that. And that's the end of round. And I think we'll end there.
Okay. Ah, we're all alive. I wasn't expecting to take 30 points of damage in one shot.
That hurt, dude.
No.
That hurt. When I saw him roll damage and I saw a d20 getting rolled, yeah. I was like,
oh no.
What a wild first round.